Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Association of Blind Teachers community call on using AI in the classroom. Our member Dan Kelly is our presenter tonight, and I am going to turn the call over to him and ask him to introduce himself and do our presentation. So, thank you, everyone, for coming out tonight, and Dan for doing our presentation.
All right. Well, thank you, April. I hope everybody's able to hear me okay. And welcome to everybody joining via Zoom or Clubhouse or from your A device or however you're connecting to this call. My name is Dan Kelly. And before we get started, I'll give you a little bit of background on me and where I come from. I know April because we went to school together at the Alabama School for the Blind way back in the day. And my senior year of high school, I moved to Ohio. And from there, I went to public school my senior year. And then I went to Ohio State and got a Bachelor of Music Education degree. Substitute taught in Columbus City Schools in Columbus, Ohio for 3 years. Came back to Ohio State because I really wanted to make a difference in the education of students with visual impairments. Got to work in a lot of resource rooms during my subbing experience. And I was like, man, we need to work on some technology because it's out there. And some knew about it, some didn't. I was bringing two briefcases of technology and a backpack every day to work. And it was the fun, good old days. So I went back to Ohio State and got my master's in education and my TBI endorsement. Have worked at the Ohio State School for the Blind as a Braille and technology teacher for about 28 years, and have since moved over to statewide services and outreach. Outside of working at the Ohio State School for the Blind and ODBES, which is Ohio Deaf and Blind Education Services, statewide services and outreach, I also do contract work with our rehab program in the state of Ohio, which is called Opportunities for Ohioans with Disabilities. And I also work for the I Can Connect program, which is a federal program for distance communication for folks who are deafblind or have both hearing and vision loss. Other than that, I am, love my family. I am a husband. I am a father. I have four kids. I have two stepkids and two kids that are, I guess, biological kids, and they range from 18 years old down to 11 years old, three boys and one girl. We love eating food. I love to cook, and they love to eat what I cook. We love doing outside activities, and we're constantly camping and hiking and biking and doing all that kind of fun stuff, fishing. So it's great to be here. It's great to talk about AI. What I hope to achieve tonight is a discussion about AI. It is a tool. It is not the devil that some of us think that it is, at least in my opinion, anyway. I am not the know-it-all, end-all about AI. I just want to talk about how I've used it personally and how I've used it professionally and how I've had my students use it in the classroom. And I was an assistive technology teacher, so taught, as we all do, anything that has a battery and a plug is what we were kind of responsible for doing, whether that's a PC running JAWS or a MacBook, iPad, Android tablet, whatever the case may be. So, with the students that I have, I was really thinking about a lot of things, and one of them is accessing information for one, and another one is using AI as a tool to solve problems, because I really think one of the biggest challenges in our population of youngsters is the ability to be critical thinkers and problem solvers and just knowing how to figure things out. So, I had a class of juniors, and they were a mixed group of folks in terms of what technology they were using. I had two students that were using MacBooks. I had three students that were using PCs with JAWS. I had one student who was using Fusion. I had one student that started out on an iPad, and then we got them converted over to either a MacBook or a PC. I don't remember which. And the course that I was teaching was a Microsoft Office course. And when I got the course, one of the first things that I noticed is that the course was really not accessible. So the course was basically home and business. So we were looking at the apps of Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, and Outlook, and getting certifications in all three of those areas. And well, when I got the course was comprised of some text. It was comprised of a video for every lesson, and everything, all the instructions for this was mouse driven. So it was like, find this icon that looks like this and click on it. And when it turns this color, then you can do this to it. You can drag it here, whatever. So, my students were really upset and they were like, Mr. Kelly, this isn't going to work. And I'm like, yeah, well, it's going to be great. And so Seeing AI had just come out with their AI at that point. So I didn't recommend Seeing AI to put in our we were using we're primarily an Apple school. So we were using JAMF for mobile device management and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't put it in there. I could do Seeing AI. I couldn't do Be My Eyes because you can connect to a volunteer through Be My Eyes. And those are folks that aren't vetted. They weren't background checked or anything like that. And you can't, we couldn't have our students just calling up random people and, asking random questions, and you can't monitor that and that kind of
Airplane mode.
thing.
Which button?
So,
Up.
I told my kids, I'm like, this is a great app that you can get on your personal devices, but we can't put them on your school devices. And so most of them in the class did that, and they were able to complete that course. And we had 100% of our students get certifications in Office 365, or the layman's term is home and business, and Outlook, Excel, and Word. And what you can do in Seeing AI, or I'm sorry, in Be My Eyes, is you go to the service directory. You can go to technical, and you can go to Microsoft, and you can engage with their chat. So it was, how do I monitor column headings in Excel? How do I insert a pie chart into Excel, or how do I create one? So, and then we, quantified those with keystrokes. How do we use keystrokes to do that? Right. So I got to thinking, well, this works great with technology. It can also work great with the expanded core curriculum, with daily living skills, independent living skills, things like that, because you can, also through the service directory, you can access all kinds of products, all kind of cleaning supplies, and get those instructions for what you need. So just with that AI chat part of things, it really made a difference and really brought our kids up to speed on accessing that information. And of course, there's mainstream platforms to do this as well. But what I found is that, Be My Eyes really puts it in one environment so that students can kind of drill down quicker into the information that they need when they need it, and they can get it quickly. Students in our independent living skills program and teachers in the independent living skills program started using AI in terms of organization and matching up clothes and, finding recipes and organizing their pantry and things like that. In my own example, I don't know if any of you guys do this, but it with my statewide services and outreach gig, I'm wearing a suit every day. And I need to make sure that my coat and my tie and my shirt and my pants and all that kind of stuff matches. So, before what I would do is make the Braille tags and put on the clothing, and I would know what color each garment would be. Now, it's kind of a pain to do that because I'd have to take the tags off when I was wearing the clothes and then put them back on when I was going to get the clothes clean and hang them back up in the closet and that kind of thing. And I was always losing tags and that kind of thing. So now I use AI and I can, use Be My Eyes mainly and, take a picture and get the color of the jacket, the color of the shirt, the color of the tie. Then you can go to ask more and you can say, does the tie match the coat? And if the seeing AI comes back and says, well, some people might think this is a good combination, I'm thinking that probably it doesn't match up as well as what I want it to. So, I can go back to the drawing board and pick another tie or pick another jacket and that kind of thing. Before we get into the demonstration, I want to talk about a couple more things. Especially with seeing AI and the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. I have found some good pairings with the Meta Ray-Ban glasses. They're great for, you can say, hey, Meta, what am I looking at? It'll give you a summary of what you're looking at, or it'll give you a summary of the document that you're looking at. And it does a pretty good job with that. You can get it to drill down into a restaurant menu, for instance, if you want to do that. So that was great, but I thought, got to thinking, well, what about pairing it up with some of my mobility apps that I work with the O&M folks with, like Voice Vista? Does anybody use Voice Vista on this call? Give me a thumbs up.
April has her hand up.
All right, April. April's using Voice Vista. Voice Vista is kind of the revamped soundscape that was out a few years ago. And I love that.
Tennis does too.
Yeah, great. Love that program. I started using it when I used to go camping with my sons when they were in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, and we were out in the open in the woods, and I needed to set markers on things like our tent, where the lodge was, or the main meeting area where the bathroom or the shower house is, or whatever. And it was great. And then I started using it in my own travels in the city. And when I found that, and I did a workshop with AER, president of the Ohio chapter of AER, we used Voice Vista and we used markers and beacons and had a great time doing that. Well, when I go up to, I live behind a shopping center, and to get to the stores, I've got to cross a gigantic parking lot to get there. And of course, when you do that, if you're a cane user, I don't know so much as a dog guide user or not, but you veer a little bit. So you need to find some landmarks and some clues. And the Meta glasses was kind of a life changer on that, because I could use Voice Vista and I could hear the marker through Voice Vista, but I could also say, hey, Meta, what am I looking at? Or, hey, Meta, do you see a building? So I was able to square off and get my bearings with that, without actually having to go find those things with my cane. When I'm on my way home, there's a privacy fence that separates the parking lot from my street. It's like an 8-foot tall fence, and I can get, hey, Meta, get that direction and square off with that fence and start heading in that direction. So I know I'm heading back towards the house across that big open space. And then once I find the fence, then I can trail down and find the opening and the path that comes back down to my street. And then I'm home free after that. It's not really AI, but when you pair the Meta glasses with the Be My Eyes app and work with a volunteer, it's so seamless to have a hands-free camera. One thing I did figure out, I have never worked with a friends and family plan with Be My Eyes, but I had a client the other day who did, and we tried calling his friends and family from the glasses, and there is not a direct support for that as of yet. But what you can do is if you have a group set up of friends and family that who you want to volunteer for you when you need visual assistance, you call that group from the app. And when someone connects, then you double tap the capture button on the glasses, and that will change the camera input from your phone to your glasses. So once you connect the call, then you can go hands-free with your Meta glasses, and life is a lot easier when you're doing that hands-free, because if you're, you know, you got a cane in one hand and a shopping cart in the other hand or whatever, if you're trying to use the other hand to look for something, it's you know, and trying to juggle the phone, it's a lot easier when you can do that hands-free. So that has been a game changer for me. I do want to get my hands on the Echo Vision glasses when they come out. I'm already trying to do that and beta test for that. So a lot of that is, you know, embedded in Be My Eyes and Seeing AI. And I love those two apps because they are for people who are blind and have low vision. There are other apps that I do use that are not. And one that I will talk about next, I will pause for questions if there are any at this point, but the next thing that I'm going to talk about is AI Studio from Google. So
we do have a question.
All right. So who has a question and what is it?
April?
Dan, could you briefly describe how to initiate a call from Be My Eyes with the Meta glasses? I haven't done that yet.
Okay. So I can talk about it, but I can't audio demo it because when I open up the glasses, let me just make sure. Let me see what happens here.
In the meantime, Stacy Smith also has her hand up.
Okay. Stacy, while I'm getting this ready, what's your question?
Well, you brought up a good point about, I don't know, I can't look at anything with my eyes, but it would sure be nice if we could have cameras in those glasses that would be standalone, that would look at everything from a very wide angle and would take pictures from a very wide angle so that you could have a very good idea, well round, like if you have your head in one certain angle, it would just take a very wide parameter of everything, and you could have from a very wide angle a view around you what was happening, and you wouldn't have to put your
Daniel
head
Kelly, so Apple many account different, iCloud Plus, you know, and more buttons.
Get a very
settings,
wide view of what you
search,
have.
Search field.
Yeah, I do see what you're saying, Stacy, and I do agree with you on that. I will tell you the camera on these Meta glasses is located on the right-hand side of them, but it is a wide-angle lens camera, so I don't have to worry. Like, it's going to catch what's straight in front of me. And I especially notice this when I'm working with a volunteer, that, you know, I don't have to turn my head to the left or right as much to scan to see what's around me. So, for instance, when I go into Kroger, then to the grocery store up here, and I want to get a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk, and I need to check out those signs that's up, you know, the end caps on the aisle to see where things are. I'm not like, you know, doing the whole, I've got to turn my head, whatever it is, 45 or, you know, 90 degrees to the left or 90 degrees to the right. It's a very subtle head movement. And it's very smooth. It's very smooth. So I think the technology is there. I think the technology is there. So now I've got my Meta glasses on and I'm going to see what happens here. Hey, Meta. Hey, Meta. What am I looking at? Okay. Could you guys hear that at all?
No. All right. No, we did not hear your glasses.
Yeah, I didn't think you could. And I was afraid of that. I've got my phone hooked up into the USB-C port, and it's connected to one of those adapters that goes into 3.5 into my mixer. But the glasses are sucking away the audio from that. I think, nope, voiceover is even coming through the glasses. So
yeah, I was going to say that would be for the Blind Shell Classic 3, too. Maybe after I get to, if I get a Blind Shell Classic 3, that is, not instead of a 2. But yeah. I would like to say, you know.
I don't think the Meta glasses work with the Blind Shell at this time.
I don't think they do either. So anyway.
Well, they'll work with Ira, but I mean, I'd like to see, you know, technology extend. I know the they're working on things, you know.
So one of the things is when you get your Meta glasses and you set them up and you get the MetaView app, they're fairly easy to set up, but it does take a minute to do it. You got to follow a lot of prompts. but it is very doable. It is very accessible. So the only accessibility option that MetaView has right now is Be My Eyes. So if you want to just reach a volunteer at Be My Eyes and you're wearing your glasses, all you got to do is say, hey, Meta, and it'll go bleep, and you say, Be My Eyes. And it'll say, call and Be My Eyes from your glasses. Okay. And it will connect you. And that's all you have to do. So with, you know, it's that easy. I think when you do that, when you do the setup and you see accessibility in your settings, then you Be My Eyes is like a checkbox that you double tap on if you're using VoiceOver to enable that feature. And then you're all good to go. You can use the Meta glasses with Ira as well. You initiate the call on your phone with the Ira app first. And you tell the agent, hey, I got some Meta glasses. I'd like to use those. And they will send you a WhatsApp link, and it comes through in the same window as your call. The only thing that you need to make sure is that your WhatsApp account has been created and you're able to use WhatsApp, you know, as a standalone, you know, to communicate with people. My mistake when I first tried that was I hadn't used WhatsApp in so long that, you know, WhatsApp was like, I forget you, Dan. I'm not, you know, you haven't used me in so long. So I had to reset everything up, and then I was able to connect with an IR agent, and then they sent me the WhatsApp. I clicked on it and it was pretty seamless. It switched over to WhatsApp, and then we were able to use the glasses and the, you know, the IR agent could see through my glasses and hear me through the glasses.
OSSD folder, 5 apps.
Okay. So, I go ahead.
Oh, all right. I thought I was unmuted.
No. Go ahead.
No. Yeah. It'll work with Ira, as I understand it. And it'll work with, I understand it. That's but I don't know if they give you wide parameters on this thing. That's what I don't know. And I'd like to see it.
Okay, and we probably need to move on to some other things, Stacy. So
yeah, and work with your volunteers that you're working with, and most of them will give you good information about what you need to do and how you need to go about that. Okay, so the one app that I do want to talk about that's kind of a mainstream app that and we're going to hope that it's going to work, is called AI Studio. And it's not an app, actually. I called it an app, but it's really not. It's just a website. It's aistudio.google.com is how you get to it. So initially when I went there, I used Safari to go there. And then you sign in with your Google account and to get going. So what I'm going to do is you're going to hear my phone.
Page 204, my phone ad.
Okay, can you guys hear that? Page 204?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Playground. Stream real-time BBQ Go. Stream real-time vertical line Google AI Studio.
Okay, so there it is. I created a shortcut on my home screen and put it on the second page. I'm going to double tap on
Safari.
That.
Button.
And it's going to open up.
Page menu. Button.
And it opens in Safari. So I'm just going to swipe right through this.
Address. Refresh. Skip to main con. Google AI Studio home. Get API key. Studio. Chat. Stream. Video Gen, Starter Apps, History, Documentation, Dashboard, Disclaimer, Google Account, Open Navigation Menu, Show Run Settings, Open Settings Menu, Stream Real Time, System Instructions, Get Code, Talk to Gemini Live, Talk, But Webcam, Button, Type Something, Insert Assets Such as Images, Run, Description.
Okay, run, so this interface seems to change because sometimes I get a webcam.
Insert that, Type Something, Webcam, Button.
And sometimes I get a camera and a microphone. So I don't know what the rationale is behind that. And maybe somebody who has some experience with AI Studio will chime in and help enlighten us about what's going on with that. So I'm going to double tap on this webcam.
Open double quotation mark studio.google.com would like to access the camera. Opening double quotation mark studio.google.com.
So every time it asks you, it says, I want to access the camera.
Cancel. Allow. Button.
I'm going to say allow.
Safari. Webcam. Button. Type something. Camera. Description. Stop recording. Button. Okay. Microphone. Description. Start recording.
So,
button.
And this is something new too. This says microphone start recording. So I'm going to double tap on that.
Opening double quotation mark studio.google.com would like to access. Cancel. Allow.
I'm going to say button. Allow.
Microphone. Description. Stop recording. Button.
What am I looking at?
From what I can see in the image, you're looking at a laptop displaying the ACB logo, which features the letters ACB above braille dots. There's also a microphone and some audio equipment visible on the desk next to the laptop. Is there anything specific about the image that you'd like me to describe further?
Yes, I want you to tell me what kind of mixer I have over here.
That appears to be a...
Can you repeat that, please?
Model 12 mixer. Would you like me to tell you anything else about it? Certainly. That appears to be a Tascam Model 12 mixer.
Tascam Model 12 mixer. That is exactly right. Okay. So as we are looking at this AI Studio, this is kind of AI in real time. And all right, where's my print stuff? Oh. All right. So before I left my house to come over to my office today, I grabbed some envelopes out of my mailbox. Can you read that?
The return address says State Farm and the recipient address.
It's glitching because of the Wi-Fi.
Okay. It looks like it says 00764933-7201 Davis Stone Kelly 273 Gerard R.D. Colony, Oklahoma 43216137. There's also some text that says important insurance policy information and or premium notice. Please open immediately. Is there anything else you want me to read off the envelope?
No, there is nothing else I want you to read off of that envelope. And, you know, I'm not allowed to give out my contact info, so that wasn't quite right, but it was pretty darn close. Anyway, what am I looking at? I got my camera pointed towards around the officer.
I see the camera is pointed towards a section of the office. There are two doors along a wall and what looks like a white cane running along the base of that wall. To the right, there's a microphone, the edge of a computer monitor, and a mixing board.
Okay. So now let's see. I'm curious. I'm going to maybe I don't run out of cord here.
Got it.
What do you see out the window?
It looks like there's a grassy field.
What do you
looks
see
like
the
there's
window?
A from the window, I can see a grassy area, a paved path or road, and a building in the distance.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Is there anything else I can help you?
What can you help me with?
It appears that the desk is messy with a lot of cables. Is there anything specific you would like help with, such as cable management?
No.
Okay.
Oh man, that's great. That's great.
Again, you're using your phone camera?
I am. Yep. I'm totally using the phone camera. AI, I'm sorry. The Meta glasses will not work with AI Studio as of yet. So right now you're just using the phone camera, but this is great. When I'm out and about and, if I'm in a hotel or something like that, and I'm trying to find the bar, or if I'm trying to find whatever, this is a good way to kind of query the environment and see what's out there and what's around me.
By the way, April has her hand up again.
April Shinholster Martin.
Yes.
In the video, I can see a laptop, a microphone.
Stop.
App switcher. Safari. Active.
Now let's shut
App switcher. Closing settings. Okay. Messages. Late round.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, April.
That's fine. I noticed that you didn't have to put in your Google credentials when you first opened the page. Can you stay signed in, or is that something you have to put in every time you open AIstudio.google.com?
That is a very good question, and I have signed in one time, and I have been signed in ever since. I don't even remember if there was a checkbox that says "Remember me." If there was, I checked it, but I've not had to sign in. You can also change the voice of this. You can also change the model of chat that you get. This guy is kind of snarky. I kind of like him. But yeah, he is, but you can change the voice. They've got a couple of male voices, a couple of voices that are female. And that I have not been able to have that stay. So if I wanted to change my model or change my voice, I'd have to go back and reset that, every time. And that part of it is not as accessible, I think, is as it should be, going in and changing your settings. But you can do it. You can do it. You can do it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you're welcome.
And Katrina has her hand up also.
Hello, Katrina.
Hi. I was just asking, when I'm listening to your voices, are you using an iPhone or what? Because that doesn't sound like iPhone.
Well, I tell you what I'm using. I'm using an iPhone 16 Pro, and I'm running VoiceOver, and I have chosen, I'm an old guy. I'm 53. So I love the Eloquence speech engine, even though it's like, I think it's bad for your hearing. But so I've got Eloquence chosen as my preferred synthesizer, preferred voice, and I use Reed because I use that on the computer as well. Oh. So yeah, I'm using Eloquence and Reed. That's what it is. And then the voice from Google is one of Google's voices. It's Buck or somebody like that. I can't remember his name.
I recognize the Google voices, but it sounded like Jaws, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
I have an iPhone 16 Pro Max as well, but I don't like that robotic voice, and I'm 56.
Okay, so all right. Well, congratulations. We still doing it.
And Donna Brown has her hand up.
All right. You're from West Virginia, but we're going to let you talk anyway.
Oh, well, thank you.
So I just want to clarify that Google Studio, that's a website. It's not actually an app. Is that
yes, correct? Ma'am. That's right. Okay. Yeah. AIstudio.google.com.
AIstudio.google.com. I'm going to have to play with that. Huh?
Yeah. And
that's a new one for me.
You can run it on your computer as well. Right. So if you run it on your computer, you'll use your camera that's on the top of your screen. Uh-huh. It'll default to that. And I do that a lot as well. And I'll just hold my mail up in front of it.
Oh.
And one thing that I do want to talk about, especially if we're working with kids and we've got a VRT, we got a TVI, a couple of folks that are still active, is that you got to caution these kids to be cautious and be safe with using AI. So if I get an envelope that says Chase Bank on it, and even that State Farm, envelope, it's probably something that I'm not going to use AI to read the contents of that, because I don't know how that data is being processed. I don't know where it's being warehoused and all that kind of stuff. And I don't want my account numbers going out there into the ether, and it's something that I really want kids to be cognizant of. So this is mostly what I've talked about so far is getting information. And I haven't talked about productivity too much. And I want to do that before we run out of time, but I realize we run down a rabbit hole and I'm very guilty of doing that. It's 7:18 right now. So I do want to talk about ChatGPT a little bit. Okay. Now, I was very much against ChatGPT being a teacher. I'm like, you guys need to use your brain. You need to come up with your thesis statement, your main idea. You need to come up and you need to make an outline. You need to, hash this thing out. And so I had a client from rehab down in South Ohio, down near Portsmouth. And this guy was older than Katrina. He was like 59. And like I said, he's older than Katrina, but he had a third grade education. But I'm going to tell you what, he could talk the bark off a tree. He had a great verbal vocabulary. He was great doing customer service jobs. He could sell you anything. He could sell a thirsty guy in the desert a glass of sand to drink. I'm telling you, he was that good. But he had a third grade education and his writing skills were awful. He could not spell. He could not do sentence structure. His grammar was bad. The counselor said, look, we really want to get him a job and we really want to get him placed, but he's having a problem when he responds to these companies and writes an email, even with dictation, it's bad. It's bad. It's just, the companies just close the door because they're like, this guy's a moron. He can't write. And I get it. I get it. So what I did with him is I said, all right, we're going to use ChatGPT. And I started him on the mobile app ChatGPT, right? And everybody on this call has probably used it. I can demonstrate it if you want to, but if you have experience with it, I don't need to. But I said, listen, you're going to learn how to prompt ChatGPT. Write a thank you letter that says, thank you for reviewing my application for this job. I think this is the best company in this field. I look forward to an interview, blah, blah, blah. So it does that. It spits out the response. And I was like, all right. So he had good mechanical memory, right? What I mean by that is, he could tell you how to do anything with a screen reader. He probably could tell me things about Jaws that I didn't know. So I'd say, all right, go ahead and copy that message, swipe back to it, swipe down, hit copy, email it to yourself, copy it from your email into Microsoft Word. Now you got a framework to work with, right? So he'd go in and, up at the top, it says company name. I said, all right, now you're going to select company name and you're going to put in AT&T or you're going to put in, wherever you're applying for, whatever it is, Sears and Roebuck, whatever. You're going to select address. You're going to put in their address. You're going to select your name. You're going to put in your name, that kind of thing. So the mechanical part worked great. And I'm going to tell you what, after we trained him up on using ChatGPT as a writing partner, and I think it probably took us, working on and off for about a month because I'm about 2.5 hours away from him. The guy landed two jobs in, doing phone sales. And I was like, this is a valid tool. This can help people. This can, you know, this can do this. And, you know, you're not cheating. The only way you're cheating is if you copy something and you submit it as your own work. Right. But I think ChatGPT is a good fuel for the fire. It gives you a good framework that you can work with and you can make it your own. Somebody on this call asked me to do a biography about what, and I was like, I need to do ChatGPT and get a good start on this. And so I did, you know, and it gives me a good framework. So that's one thing about productivity. Another thing that I want to talk about AI, especially if you're a teacher, is that it gives you the opportunity to get kids to use technology that they're resistant to, right? Kids are resistant to using screen readers. They are resistant to using magnification, especially if they're in the public school setting, because this makes me look different, right? I don't want to do something that makes me look different. I just want to fit in. But you need some kind of hook, right? Before AI and, you know, all that, when the iPhone was out and I was trying to get a high school kid to learn Braille, I'm like, look, dude, you can text your girlfriend and nobody's going to know what you're saying. That was his hook, right? That was his hook for learning Braille. Now you got things like music AI, okay? That's a hook for some kids. Music AI is a hook for some kids. And it's basically giving it a prompt. I'll show you an example of what that sounds like. Have anybody used Udio.com or Sunos.com for music AI? Going once. Going twice.
No hands.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to let you hear my... Hang on a second.
Stacey Smith, computer audio music with host James Bedford.
All right. Is that too loud?
Stacey Smith, computer audio music, video up.
Is it distorting on your guys' end?
It doesn't sound distorted to me.
Okay. I'll slow it down just a little bit.
Slower. Press hold to show ID and control.
All right. So.
Slower.
Let me do that. Now, what I'm going to do is I've created some stuff with Udio, right? Because one of the things that I did in my teacher career was I taught audio production, and we did a podcast for the School for the Blind in Ohio. And we did that from 2017 to 2023. And it was a lot of fun. It was an audio newsletter. The kids could do some journalism stuff, but they could also write music and create music, right? So in my new job, I thought, man, it'd be nice to start doing a podcast for Statewide Services and Outreach, right? Oh man, I'm just all a quiver to get things out there, you know, and talk about what we do and all this stuff. And I'm just, you know, whatever. So anyway, I was like, I need some music, but I really don't have time to sit down with Logic Pro, GarageBand, do all this kind of stuff. So I went to Udio.com and I said, I need a 10-second jingle that says Statewide Services and Outreach Podcast, right?
Task switching. This is work. Launch meeting. That's Studio Recorder.
So I'm going to open up Studio Recorder, which is one of my favorite audio apps for accessibility and teaching kids how to use. And let's open up one of these files.
Open dialogue. Older view. Essential outreach.m. Echoes of the past.m. Essential out.
All right. So I'm just going to preview some of these and just show you what it sounds like.
It's not coming through. I wonder, do you have your original sound turned on?
So, you know, just typing in words, using the internet, I'm using all of the things, you know, to navigate web pages and using JAWS, you know, kids love that kind of stuff. And so it's a good hook for teaching them to use JAWS and to use, you know, to go out and surf web pages.
Harmony and Brass.mp3 Harmony.
Yeah, we had some trouble hearing the music, and I wondered if you had your original sound turned on or off.
Oh, what happened when it played? I could hear it fine through my headphones, but
it really couldn't hear it. It kind of, I don't know how to explain it. But it wasn't very loud. You know, you really couldn't tell that it was music playing. But as I say, if you change your original sound, maybe that would help.
All right, here, hang on, let's try it again.
If you can do that on your phone. No, it's still.
What? The person is in the outreach. Podcast coming
soon. Okay. So was, did that come through better, Diane?
It was a little better, yeah.
Right. Sorry that, the audio is not all that great on that.
Yeah, Zoom cuts out a lot of the music, so you have to have original sound turned on, which is trickier to do on the phone than on the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I unplug the phone and I plug that same cable into the headphone jack of the computer. And I think because it's kind of using both of those as a sound source, that's where we're running into a problem.
Well, no, it's also just Zoom is really...
Zoom cuts out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it cuts out a lot of
external...
To try and make your voice be heard more clearly. Yeah. So if you don't have like what's called original sound turned on, then music, it will filter out a lot of music.
Yeah, I did that. Actually, I did that. I
okay, you did
all that, you know, suppress sound, do all that. So yeah, I did that. Gosh, I mean, we could talk on and on about things. But I do want to make sure that we leave some time for some questions. It's about 7:28 at this point. Besides that, I think the music AI is a whole nother dimension. The other thing that I'll talk about is creating images before we get to questions. What I have found that really works for me and my students is using the Meta AI in Facebook Messenger. So you can go into... in your Facebook Messenger, and at the bottom, you click on AI, and then the chat, you type create a picture of snow-capped mountains that has wide vistas, you know, whatever, clouds scudding across the sky. You know, whatever you put in there for your prompt, and it does a pretty good job. There are other things out there that probably do it better. But I was thinking about that because, you know, when our kids are making PowerPoint presentations and Google Slides and all that kind of stuff, one of the hardest things that it is for us is to get pictures to go with the materials that we're doing. So, you know, I was like, well, you know, if you're doing something on the moon, you know, you can tell AI to generate images about this particular crater, or if you're doing something about stars, you know, this particular constellation or whatever. And then you can always, you know, get somebody to visually check that and, you know, help you out on that. And before we stop, the only other thing that I want to talk about is the AI that's built into JAWS, PictureSmart. I think there's been a call on PictureSmart before, but PictureSmart is amazing. If you have not used it, it's JAWS space followed by the letter P, and a question mark will give you all the commands that are available to you. The first picture that I ever had described with PictureSmart was of a mood meter, and a mood meter is one of these warm and fuzzy things that team builders like to use at meetings. And across the bottom, it talks about your emotions. You know, are you sad? Are you mellow? Are you happy? Are you ecstatic? And then up the vertical axis, you have different levels of energy. And so you were supposed to go across and find your emotional feeling for the day and your level of energy for the day. But that PictureSmart with JAWS just knocked that out. It really described it very well. I use it when I'm looking at other people's PowerPoints to describe the screen, or if I'm running the show or just looking at it in slide view. It does a great job doing those charts and pictures within that. So if you have JAWS 2023, maybe 24 was the first version that had PictureSmart. I don't know. And another thing JAWS has is the FS Companion. So if you're trying to figure out how to do something with JAWS, it's under Web Resources and Help, or it is fscompanion.ai, I think is what it is. You can ask it a question about anything about Freedom Scientific products, like how do I read the title bar, the active window, and it'll spit you back JAWS T. How do I set up column and row headers or titles, and it'll tell you how to do that and all the keystrokes. So AI is definitely becoming a tool that's becoming more present in our community every day. And it is a tool, and that's all it is. And you know, it's how you use it is kind of what you're going to get out of using that tool. So I really appreciate your guys' time tonight. I really appreciate you being here with me. And I'd like to stop now and open it up to any questions that you may have about what we talked about or anything that we haven't.
Okay. Now Donna Brown had her hand up before, but
she's left.
She did. Okay.
She left. Yeah.
Okay. Stacy.
If I understand it correctly, I have a very old book, or I did have it. I don't know if I still do, but I have a very old book that is nothing but graphically oriented. It just reads out in graphics, and I have never been able to get anybody to read it to me. You know, it's scanned in graphics. And I'm wondering if through AI, could it be read?
Well, yeah, I do think that you could probably get some more information out of that. You know, what I would do is I would use Seeing AI or Be My Eyes. I would actually use Be My Eyes and take pictures of the pages and see what it says. And once you take the picture, there's an Ask More button. So if it describes the page to you and you want to get more information, then you click the Ask More, and then you can use dictation or you braille screen input or type in the chat and say, tell me more about this. And you'll get some information back, or it'll say, it's unclear. You need to take another picture. And so there's a button that says add picture, and you would do that and take another picture, and it would add it to that ongoing chat.
Would it read the page to me, the whole page, like words?
I don't know, because I don't know what book you have. So it's really hard for me to give you a definitive answer on that. But I do think that it would open up what is in those pictures on those pages.
Wow.
So I would give it a try, Stacey. I really would give it a try. You'd be amazed at what comes back to you. And then you always remember you got to ask more that you can use.
I can even find a book now after about we're talking about 30 odd years.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, hopefully you find your book, and then you know, you have some fun using AI trying to decode that and what's in that book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It wasn't possible, you know, that long ago. It wasn't possible to read it.
Right. All right. Well, thank you, Stacy. Are there any other questions, Diane?
I don't see any hands at this time.
Okay. All right. All right. Well,
have any other questions, Dan, I want to thank you so much for doing this presentation. I learned a lot, including how easy it is to initiate a call with my Meta glasses and Be My Eyes. So I've got to try that. I had no idea it was that simple. So
it is. And I'll tell you what I normally do. The main times, or you know, the occasions that I use Be My Eyes with a volunteer with the Meta glasses is when I'm going to the store to pick something up. So right. I will walk up to the entrance of the store, put the glasses on, and say, hey, Meta, Be My Eyes. When I wait till I'm connected, they answer, and I tell them what I want to do. I want to go in and get some eggs and milk or whatever. And can you help me with that? Yep, sure can. Let's go. Then I'll grab a cart if I need one. And then it always helps, like especially if you're going like into a public place, if you can connect to their Wi-Fi network, it really makes a difference in the video. that they're getting on their end, versus just even if I have, you know, 4 bars and, you know, 5G wideband, ultra wideband on my cell phone, it seems like they get, you know, because of the wider bandwidth of a Wi-Fi, they get better video on their end. So I noticed I noticed a big difference of, you know, being in the store doing that, or, you know, if we're out in the woods somewhere and I've, you know, got a kind of a mediocre cell phone signal and I'm connecting.
Okay. Diane and Holly, I want to thank you very much for being our hosts. Do we have any other hands or questions at this time?
I don't see any hands.
Okay. Well, thank you everyone for coming out, and Dan for doing our presentation. And I think we can go ahead and close the room then.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. And I will end the room.